The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord.
Thank you. comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 2nd chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You, who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
James, Joel. If the children of the congregation wish to view the baptism, they can come to the center aisle and watch the baptism. And as you witness this baptism, I invite you to again take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the font by again renouncing the devil and confessing faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says, in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ cleans us as his own. "Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified." Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Eden Chong Mi according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam,
and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. James and Joel, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Eden's baptism. You are to pray for her every day. Support her in her ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage her toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be examples to her of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. James and Joel, is it your intention to serve Eden, Chong, Mi as sponsors in the Christian faith? Then say, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Congregation may be seated. Children, you can stay there. Eden Chong Mi, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Eden, Chong Mi, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Eden Chong Mi, I baptize you in the name of the Father.
Amen.
And of the Son.
Yes.
And of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 The Almighty and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace in life everlasting.
Amen.
Please stand and pray. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Eden Chongyi the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. You may return to your seats. We continue with the hymn.
Thank you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Amen.
Our text is the reading from Philippians chapter 2, especially these verses. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is our text. It's a big morning today. By my count, we've heard three different gospel readings, from the Palm Sunday reading to the Passion of our Lord from Matthew 27 and the words of Christ from Mark 10, "Let the little children come to me," and a baptism. Holy baptism isn't just a church ritual. What little Eden received isn't just a symbolic act. Jesus doesn't play around and he doesn't pretend. Baptism really does something. Baptism has a power that is divine from God. What gives baptism its power? It's the Word of God with the water that does it. Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those words with the water change reality. What does baptism do? It delivers a sinner from the domain of darkness by transferring that person to the kingdom of the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Little Eden today has been baptized into that redemption, into that new birth and reality, into that new way of life, and into that new habit of mind. You can say now, Tech and Catherine, that your daughter is baptized into Christ Jesus. You can confess and teach her that she has been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. You can say that she is baptized into the triune God. Our prayer for her, which is also the Heavenly Father's desire for each and every one of us, is that we might all grow up into what we are in Christ Jesus, into our baptisms. And this is how St. Paul describes the baptized life, this new way of life. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You could say that St. Paul's describing a sort of spiritual cataract surgery. He's giving us a new set of lenses by which to see ourselves, to see others, and to see the world. When we look at ourselves now through Christ, no more dullness, no more cloudy vision. We can see clearly. Or you could call what St. Paul describes here a theological mind transplant, which is something we all desperately need. Why do we need a new mind? Because we're all born with the sinful mind of Adam. We see ourselves and our nature mirrored in our father Adam when we read the account of what happened after the fall into sin. When sin came, what did Adam do? How did he act? He thought only of himself. As soon as that sin happened and he was afraid of God confronting him, it all turned inward. He blamed Eve. He blamed God. If there would have been anyone else around, he would have blamed them as well. He considered his own interests above everything else. Curved inward is the description, coiled on himself, like a spring ready to snap and grab anyone around, or like a snake preparing to bite. That was Adam. But what about us? How many times this week, curved and coiled, toward whom and over what? And how little were those things that we would snap and bite about? But St. Paul has a different way for us today. He wants us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. He wants you to know that you have a new mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus already. A new way, like I said, to think about yourselves and others and the world. St. Paul has just described this for the people of Philippi. He said this: do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is the mind that has been given to you in Christ Jesus: to consider others before yourselves, to look after their interests, to do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. The Bible describes this with one single word, the word humility. Humility is not something that the world aspires to. Humility is not something that they teach in leadership training. Humility here is taught by the king of a kingdom where the first will become last and the last will become first, where he says the greatest will be the least and the least will be greatest, and the greatest of all is the one who comes to serve. What is humility? We tend to think of humility as something that is weak or something that is passive. I think if you think about it, we might think of humility as simply being a doormat and letting everyone else walk all over you. That is not the way the Bible describes Jesus. Or maybe we think that humility is a person pretending like he's something less than he really is. The point guard scores 30 points and leads his team to victory, but he acts like it was nothing. The world might see that as being humble, but it's not. A false humility, perhaps. Jesus never denies his own nature. Jesus never denies his own authority. He never denies his own abilities. He doesn't pretend like he's something he's not. He doesn't say, I'm not going to say I'm the Son of God. No, he isn't playing games. And he's not trying to outdo others with how modest he can be. But he's also not pretentious. He's not a show-off. He's not out for his own glory. If it was glory that he was after, personal glory, he could have had that without the cross. The devil offered all that and more. Fall down and worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus banished that way with one sentence: you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Too often we treat humility like it's simply a different way of looking at yourself. We act like pride is looking at yourself highly, and humility is looking at yourself in a lowly way. But it's not. Humility is fundamentally different than that. Humility is not about looking at yourself at all. If you're looking at yourself, even if it's just to put yourself down or demean yourself, that's not humility. Jesus never did that. That's self-loathing. And if you're doing that, stop it. It's not Christian, and it has no place among Christians. Cut it out and repent. We do not need to put ourselves down. That is not the way of humbling ourselves. Humility isn't about looking at yourself at all. It's about obedience to God and looking out for your neighbor. And I can tell you this: a weak and passive person cannot do that. A weak and passive person, one who's looking at themselves, cannot be obedient to God and cannot serve, and love their neighbor. Only a person who knows himself or herself, only someone who knows his or her duty, can use their strength to carry out what God has called them to, can love God and serve their neighbor. And that is true humility. It doesn't demand weakness. It doesn't ask for passivity. It demands courage, and it requires activity, sacrifice, and service. Which brings us to Jesus. This is the humility that he exhibited throughout his entire life, and especially when it came to Holy Week. Would you call Jesus weak? Would you call him passive? Would you call him a doormat? I think not. There is weakness in our Lord, but it is the weakness that comes when he has done absolutely everything he could, when he has expended his blood and life and energy to the fullest, and then dies. But only after he's given everything that he has, all of it, right there upon the cross. When St. Paul talks about the mind of Jesus, this mind of humility, he makes a couple of things clear. As I said earlier, Jesus never denied who he was, and he never denied what he'd come to do. There's nothing fake, nothing pretend about him. He knows who he is, he knows what he's about, and he's willing to do it. Not for the praise and glory and honor of the world, but out of love for his Father and out of love for us broken sinners. And at the same time, there's no boasting. There's no braggadocio. He goes about the business that he's been given to do. And St. Paul says that he humbled himself. No one else did this to him. He is the one who made himself in the form of a servant, who was willing to wear the clothing of the lowest and the meanest among them, who was willing to do the things that no one else would do. Not because someone made him do it, but because he was willing to take that role. We see this on the night when he was betrayed, when he gathered with his disciples, and he kneeled down to wash their feet, which is servant's work. And St. Peter said, "Oh no, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I do not wash your feet, then you have no part in me." Of course, Peter goes overboard and says, "Dump it all on, please." Jesus came to be a servant, even though he is true God. When he came to earth, he didn't come commanding armies, telling people what to do, swinging a sword or exercising his might. He came in humility and in service. Consider the beginning of his ministry. So we heard in January, Jesus was baptized. Why? He had no sins to repent of, but he went into the water in order to fulfill all righteousness. He went into the water to be washed with the dirty sin of repentant sinners. He was willing to number himself with us. That is humility. Or when our Lord was tempted in the wilderness, as we heard at the beginning of Lent, why go into the wilderness and suffer these temptations after 40 days of fasting? He could have just as easily done it in a different way, couldn't he? But he went into the battle in the weakness of our human flesh. He went out into the wilderness to stand in solidarity with you. And because he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help us when we are tempted. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us, tempted like us in every way, yet without sin. That's humility. And that's what he does for you. And all of it culminates in what Jesus does, that what we remember that he did in this coming week. The humility that was willing to go all the way to the cross, even death upon the cross. And St. Paul will not let us get away from the cross. He wants to put that always before us, He wants us to see our Lord crucified for us, because that is how we gain that new and different mind. Not by looking at ourselves, but by looking at Him. There is the salvation of the world. There is your salvation. There is Jesus' humility for you. Obedient, it says, even to the point of death. And who was He obedient to? Obedient to His Father. As we just sang, yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I will do what You decree. We might consider ourselves and look at our own obedience. This Lenten season, as it draws to a close, have we been that obedient? Maybe we've been obedient to the point of hunger, or of grumpiness, or something like that. But obedient to the point of death, and of death upon a cross. There is only one who has been obedient like that. Our sinful flesh shies away from any sacrifice, from any pain, from anything hard or demanding. We don't want to do it. But Jesus was willing, and He Himself did. Jesus was not looking out for number one. In Him there is no selfish ambition, no squabbles or petty factions. In Him there is love. And that love manifests in His humility and in His willingness to do what no one else would willingly do at all. Setting aside His rights, setting aside His power, setting aside the glory that belonged to Him with the Father from the very beginning, emptying Himself of their use and coming in the form of a servant and a slave. And He has done it all for you. Let that be before you this week, this holy week, as we go through our devotions and prayers and readings at home, and as we gather on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again on Sunday. Seeing the lengths that love would drive Him, seeing the humility that is not weak or passive, but is active and strong for you. The one who was ready to make the greatest sacrifice, that we might belong to Him and live in His kingdom forever. And the one who gave that gift today to Eden, that she might be His as well. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Savior of the world, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But we'll get to that story next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, Thy strength, I love You.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For pardon and renewal, that the blessed Son of God would lift up the gates of our hearts and be glorified as the Savior of sinners, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the merciful Lord would continue to provide faithful pastors and church workers, that their work would bring the light of Christ to those living in darkness, that their acts of mercy and the mercy shown by Christians would extend his love to the disabled, wounded, and forgotten throughout the world, and that his church would have courage to confess the Lord's death and resurrection in daily life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, including all visitors who gather with us, that we might all know Christ crucified and the power of his resurrection, and for those who serve in our midst, that they would have strength to do their work to Christ's glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered away from the faith, that they might know again the love and mercy of Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our leaders and those who serve in law enforcement and the armed forces, that they may acknowledge God before whom the might of man is nothing, and so serve honorably and well. And for those who deal with trauma from their service, that they would receive faithful care and healing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer in this world, especially Judy and Ralph in rehab, Gino undergoing testing, Lauren, Dave, Debbie, Julian, Rosemarie, Katie, Joyce, Ted and Cindy, and Jonathan, that they would not fear but fix their eyes on Jesus as they await the fullness of their salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that the Lord who humbly rode into Jerusalem for our salvation would give us hearts that confess our sin and rejoice in his presence in the Holy Communion for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ears that are open to the voice of God, that hearing the precious gospel of Christ, we would follow Christ in doing the will of the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, for Brian, Pam, and Paula, especially for Bob and Lauren, Jerry and his family, Terry, Jenny, and their family, that in the midst of sudden and tragic loss, they would know the peace of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things. Save us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us, when by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 118, a psalm of thanks. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give us, we pray, O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made up his light to shine upon us. Bind the festive sacrifice with cords. Up the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you.
Depart in peace.
Who gives thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
I am the light in the sea, I am the light.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give